Let us bow our heads for opening prayer. O Lord God Almighty, we thank you for sending your Son to overpower the devil through the power of his resurrection. Help us to live as resurrected disciples each day to share this glorious good news with others who've not yet heard it or believe in you. In your name we pray. Amen. We are at war, and it's not the kind of war where you see on the news like in Iraq or Afghanistan. This is not that kind of war. It's an underground war between good and evil. It's not a war that you see on the news or you can stand the sidelines. We're all in this war together. On the one hand, we have Satan and all his evil angels and us when we fall in that trap. And on the other hand, in essence, we have God and all his good angels and our new nature. And we have the Word of God, and especially Romans 7, verse 15, which if you read it too fast can be a tongue twister. You might remember these words well. Paul writes, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." So we're in a battle. And what kind of battle is this? It's a battle for our souls. At heart, it's a battle about within us. So when we think about this kind of battle, and we don't think about this kind of battle very often, I'm sure, in just a moment, I'm going to reread our epistle lesson from Revelation 12, verses 7 through 12 again to you. I want you to think about it in a new light. I want you to think about it in this way. Imagine that angels from heaven are delivering this message, so to speak, from underground. And we're going to give them a little bit different name. The Celestial Information Angels, the CIA. And Michael is the archangel, the head angel of this agency. And as we think about it, they're fighting on our side. But that's not the end of the battle. Of course, Christ wins the victory ultimately when we get there. But when I read this to you again, think about it in that light, that they're giving us this message, so to speak, underground, and we're fighting a battle that we don't see above ground all the time. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil, and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they have loved not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short." So first of all, you have to know who is fighting for you, and of course that's God. And you have to know the tactics that are being used by the devil. Now that's the part we don't think about. Our angelic spies have identified the enemy, and they have a lot of aliases. The first one is one that we don't use in church hardly ever, so it's probably unfamiliar to you in verse 9. It is the ancient serpent, the chief of all evil. Now the devil wears masks. He wears masks so that we don't see him. We see him, but we don't see him. He came in the Garden of Eden, and what we call the Genesis story, Genesis 3, verse 1, to Adam and Eve, and he said, "Did God actually say, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?" That was his first salvo, his first line, his first strategy. So he comes to us with masks. And the masks change from one person to the next, because we all have different chinks in our armor, different sins that affect us differently. So he speaks to us with a mask that works for us so that he can get us to listen to him and us to serve him, just like Adam and Eve were tricked into serving him rather than God. Now, his masks are not just the traditional ones, sex, drugs, and alcohol. They are the ones that are more sophisticated, more layered than that. Success, fame, fortune, prejudice, and so many others, I can't list them all. Again, he uses what works for you so he can get you to listen to him. So what kind of mask does he wear when he wants to talk to you? That's the first question. You're going to notice if I ever come back preach again, I like to ask you questions to get you thinking. Second, take mental snapshot pictures of those masks so you can identify them to the celestial information angels, to the agents, to the angels in heaven. The next alias is devil. Now, we know this one pretty well. We hear this a lot in church and probably think about this on occasion outside of church. In the original Greek, it is diabolos. It means simply the accuser. He wants to accuse us before God, and by condemning us or getting others to condemn us, to alienate us from God. His strategy is very simple. He wants to get us to the point where we feel so guilty about whatever sins we've been accused of that we won't come back to church here at Divine Shepherd or anyplace else, or we won't come and serve other people that God places in our path who may be unchurched, inactive, or they may be very strong Christians who are at this point in time hurting and need our help. So his strategies are always the same. It's just that he shifts them around for each individual to make them more effective for you. And they work sometimes. For example, when you feel so guilty not coming to worship here or anyplace else or for not serving someone else, simply go to God in prayer and confess your sins. Lord, this is my sins. Don't have to list all your sins before we go on. Confess all your sins and then ask, and then in a sincere repentance, a sincere admission of your sins and sincere sorrow, I should say, or contrition, then ask God to forgive you for all your sins through Jesus' blood shed on the cross. Repent means simply turn away from your sins back to God with the Holy Spirit's help. We can't do it on our own. And then the great dragon, the symbol of the unknown ancient literature, is filled with stories of dragons. Now, even though dragons aren't true, that doesn't make them any less dangerous. So the stories point out a symbol for us. The symbol is our fears, our inward fears. So when we think about all of the force of evil using lies and deceits to fill people with fears, think about your greatest fears right now. I'm not going to ask you to say it out loud, obviously, but think about them inside. Identify the dragons in your life, the fears in your life. Remember them, knowing that the angel spies can help you in your daily battle against those unknown fears in your life. See, as we confront them, we can ask God to help us to overpower them, overtake them in our everyday lives. And of course, he can and will do that for us. Now we get to the main name, Satan. What does that name mean? It means the enemy, the adversary. The enemy, the adversary. So this is a part of him that he hides from us. And why does he hide that name from us, or the meaning of that name from us? He doesn't want us to know that his goal is to destroy us. You see, the devil, Satan, hates anyone that God loves, which means every human being. And so he's constantly trying to hurt us. That's his goal, or goals, if you will. Our angelic spies also know Satan's action plan, or his battle plan. First, he wants to destroy us, or lead us astray. He doesn't care how or where he takes us, so as long as he leads us away from God. So his strategies may vary quite dramatically from one person to the next. For example, if he can't make you feel so bad that you don't deserve God, he tries to make you feel so good that you don't need God. If he can't make you feel despair, he'll make you feel pride. If he can't make you feel literally, or can't make you hate others, he'll make you love others in a destructive way. See the contradiction in those styles, approaches? They work, sadly, sometimes. His goal is to get you away from God. Any method will do with him, as long as it works for you. The second part of his battle plan is verse 10, to be, quote, the accuser of our brothers who accuses them day and night before our God. The devil's a tattletale. In other words, he's an accuser. He accuses you all the time of all the bad things you do in hopes that he'll alienate you from God and other Christians. That's his strategy. Now, I'm going to make up a strategy. Suppose, for just the sake of this discussion, we have a TV show. There used to be one long ago, I can't tell you how long ago, where the FBI's top 10 most wanted were on the show, and they try to show you who they were. But suppose we made a TV show with Heaven's Most Dangerous Enemy, and of course that's the devil, or Satan. We have all this information, so we know his plan of attack, we know his names, his aliases, we know everything pretty much we need to know. So we could warn people. We know his plan and how he works. We could warn people who don't know Jesus yet. Would you be willing to appear on screen on TV to testify against him? Would you be afraid to bring the underground battle above ground, out in the open? Don't answer those questions yet. We're going to wait to the end of the sermon. Let's see how the battle plan of good versus evil unfolds first. Number two, know the friend who's fighting for you and the tactics he, God, uses. Now this is the part that's the good part we want to know. Verse 10, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. The Lord's on our side. He is always on our side. He always has all that authority, and that's key, because he's God. He put limits on his authority when he became a human being so that he could literally take all the evil that we do and continue to do on himself, to take it away as he died on the cross and overpowered death and devil in his resurrection. That's the ultimate good news. And then as he rose from the dead, again, he asserts all of his authority and power as God, as Matthew 28, verse 18 says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." And the me, of course, is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. After his death and resurrection, he claimed authority even over sin and death. And this is important. As simple as this is, we use those words too often. We forget their real meaning. Christ's authority is our chief weapon against Satan. Remember, Satan has two tools in his warfare against us, sin and death. Now think about this very succinctly and spiritually. When he accuses you of sin, the authority of Jesus Christ says, "Your sins are forgiven," as I announce that forgiveness in worship. And when Satan says you will die, the authority of Jesus Christ says you will live again. Words I have an Easter stolen today. Satan never wants to hear, whether it's Easter Sunday or St. Michael and All Angels Sunday or whatever Sunday or whatever day of the week it is. The text also tells us the power of the kingdom of God is on our side. Now the good news is the power of the devil is limited. Remember this, he is not an evil God. He's an angel who started out being created good and chose to, instead of remaining good, to rebel against his creator. If God's power used against us, it would be terrifying, but he uses his power for us. He's on our side, and his power is used to save and protect us, to give us security and ultimately joy that we sing together in worship and perhaps elsewhere. Remember Paul's great words in Romans 8, verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? No one. No one, including the devil, can be against us. Next, salvation's on our side. Another overused word in the church we forget about. Its meaning. The war's already been won, but the battles go on and on until the end of time. Now, the devil's been tossed out of heaven forever. His reign on this earth is very short in the concept of time by God, where he can still cause us suffering. And the time comes, that's it for him. Because Christ has died for you, you have salvation. Because he's risen, those who know and follow Jesus as their living Lord and Savior have eternal life. Present tense already. Your best defensive weapon, the battle against evil, is confident faith in Jesus Christ. Ultimately, Jesus Christ himself. By his power, evil will lose his control in your life, and God's goodness will be in your life forever. It will never stop. Now look who's fighting for you in this battle against evil and for good. Michael and his archangels are fighting for you. But remember, Christ has won the victory. But also God has set aside his angels as ministering spirits. I'm going to read that passage shortly. Means angels who also fight for us. Jesus says in Luke 15, verse 10, "Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." I've always liked to think of it this way. Imagine the trumpet sounding by the angels, and all the angels singing praise to God every single time one of us repents worldwide. It has to be, if not almost constant thing, it has to be ongoing every day, a constant, almost praise of God. And then Hebrews 1, verse 14, a lesser-known scripture when it comes to ministering servants of God, angels. "Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation?" From Genesis 3 on, the Bible's filled with stories of God's servants praising God and fighting the battle on our side. And there's also the testimony of his saints on this earth who are fighting that battle, including the martyred saints. The first one that always comes to mind is the first one martyred, Stephen. He had great confidence and boldness right up to the moment he died because he knew Christ was on his side right next to him. The same as countless other saints who've gone before us in faith. And as we think about them, why did they have that confidence? Because they knew inside, deep down, not only in their heart and mind, but all parts of their body and their soul and their spirit, that God was not only with them, but he had won the victory in Christ in what we think of as Easter Day, winning the victory through his resurrection forever over Satan and death for us. Now, the big question today is really a simple one for us. What are we going to do with all this knowledge? Most of it just maybe packaged a little differently than what we've heard before about literally the spies in heaven and the information about this resurrection hope for us. What are we going to do with all that? We're just going to put it in our pocket and walk home and forget about it and eat our lunch and go on with our lives? Well, I'm praying this past week just the opposite of that, actually. I'm praying that as we put that information, shall we say, in our mind, that we share with others who God places in our path for whatever reason, it may have nothing to do with this service and sermon today at all, who are hurting. They may be Christians, they may be weak Christians, they may be strong Christians, they may be unchurched people. That as we minister to them, we are living as resurrected disciples for them and a living example for them of living faith in Christ. And then verse 12 of Revelation 12, I'm going to split it in two parts. First, the first sentence. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Now, the angels are already celebrating the resurrection day in and day out in heaven. We have the honor and privilege of doing that in worship, too, in a way you probably aren't consciously aware of singing the same words the angels are singing in worship. When we sing, "This is the feast," in the divine worship services, we are using Revelation 5, verse 12. Those are angel words of praising God. So the angels are praising God with us. And those words are, "Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Now the angels have three tasks or three purposes, three goals, if you want to put it that way. Number one, first of all, they deliver messages. So I always think of Angel Gabriel delivering the message of Jesus' birth to Mary. Number two, they guard us constantly. Number three, they worship with us. That's probably one we forget about because we can't see them. They're worshiping with us, praising God, that is, right now. And they ongoingly do that with us. That's where we take a time out from the struggles against Satan and all the battles of life to praise God and give him all praise, glory, and honor with joy. And then the second half of verse 12 of Revelation 12. But woe to you, earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath because he knows that his time is short. Now, we don't think about it being short, but it is short. It ends with Judgment Day, literally. It ends with the end of time, so to speak, or definitely. Will you openly declare yourself to be a part of that battle against evil and for good? Now, I'm not asking you to appear on TV like I asked that question before. That was a symbolic question. In light of Christ's authority, power, and salvation, backed by his life, death, and resurrection, now we can answer that question. Think about it this way. You've already been saved by Christ. You've already been saved by Christ. When those who know and follow Jesus, their living Lord and Savior, die, they'll go to heaven. They'll live with God forever in heaven. That's the best good news of all. Remember, as we read the report of the angel spies, we ask how the devil accused you. We ask how that he made you afraid and how he came behind the mask to deceive you. That salvation applies to every area of your life. But you have the victory of Christ to help you in every area of your life. So these greatest of all words, perhaps, of the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54 to 57, come to mind. Paul writes, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Because of the testimony of the saints and the angels help in battle, you can be a part of this battle in life to help others, people who don't know Jesus at all included. In Christ, you're a saint right now, a believer in Christ right now in this earth. You battle not only for yourself, but for others. And the word of your testimony, your victory through the blood of Jesus, can help others in their battle against evil and for good. The angels have given you a message from God. Now you can take that message from God and share it with others. Go and do that. Amen and amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and share that living Lord and Jesus Christ with others. Amen.